This is a production of Cornell University.
I'll get it back.
Okay, I need a microphone.
Okay.
Ballot?
Yeah.
Okay. Ballot? No? Okay. Walk?
Yeah.
Breathing? Brown? Sofa? Decide? Adam Gitlin? Ross Gitlin? Goldberg? Guarujani? Hoffman? Kay? Excuse? Kerr? Lee? Miller? Mueller?
Here.
Muir?
Here.
Nicoletti? Pinkney? Raff? Rao? Scalfo? Smith? Bowman? Trefison? Wolford? Lutarian?
Here. That's all.
All right, moving on to the rules of the September 29, 2011 meeting
minutes. Yeah. Move to change B. Kerr on page 6, or J. Mueller on page 6 and B. Kerr. And move also to change the time at the title to reflect the actual start and end time. It's just wrong.
Alright, so there's been two amendments. Do you have the motion?
Move to amendment.
Watch out for that. And the next announcement is the outreach update. I will report to the
Good afternoon, everybody. On November 8th, Cornell Mind Pilot is going to be coordinating the event for right now, it's really good, about random acts of kindness. And they've asked us to participate with them on November 8th from about 6:45 to 7:30, just to kind of sit outside of the museum and pass out candy and give free hugs and compliments to students who are in difficult exams. So it's just something that's kind of easy. I'm sure you guys would appreciate it if anybody did it. So if you can send us an email later, and then if you could just find back an account, let me know if you'd like to do something like that. Also, link to 66 Clemson, the judicial administrator will be there giving us a talk, and there'll be free lunches as always. So you can do that. New representatives, and those who still haven't thought about or done any of their outreach activities, please feel free to email me. I think I will email her later to the individual people, but please feel free to respond if you have any questions or concerns about how to use it, how to make your event accessible to different individuals, or any other questions like that. Just let me know. If you have any organizations that you know that you'd like that I did work with, that you don't think you've reached out to so far, let me know and I'll try to talk about the tools I can. Great question.
Are there any other representatives that would like to make announcements that are currently on the agenda? Alright, seeing none, we're going to move on to business of the day. Seeing that we have some members of our audience here for some of our resolutions, the first reporting will be Resolution 13, to call on the CPD to reevaluate the response to our call. Representative Frieden, Sasha Mack, Representative Desai, representing the WQ.
Oh, yeah.
Behind closed doors, students know nothing about how they evaluate their process or what these processes are. We wanted to kind of bring that up into the light and let students have the ability to comment on those, so that, like, rather than just being told that, like, you know, we reviewed our process and five three, that we actually get to see what they're doing, and if we see, and if students see areas that, you know, they have faults in their own system, we can recommend those.
You know, we want to see we do expect to improve on how this is more transparency. That's one thing that we do see that caused us to be here in the first place. So we want to be more transparent. We want to allow students access to understand what we do, what our policies or procedures are, and if there are problems, how to go about how to complain for things changed or if things addressed if there's an issue.
I just want to add one more thing. Thank you for some time to away. I was speaking to Chief Center last week, talking about things that they might change through this process. The one thing that she said had already been undermined, and this process might flush out new protocols for training that I'm assuming all the deputies and all the other officers go through. That would be in regards to, you know, things like identification of sex qualities that you look for when you have a description of a suspect.
So my second question is, why now? Why are we reevaluating the way that APD evaluates is responding to these situations? When there's a lot of research that you frankly probably put in a lot of different areas, why is it now that we're automatically going to be talking about this? And I ask the question because when you bring it to an SA meeting, you raise the public sector of the situation. And I understand it's completely agree. It's important to constantly reevaluate the way that you operate as an organization. It's essential. But oftentimes there's a reason for why these things are being brought to the table and being brought publicly. So maybe can you talk a little bit about what has caused this to be an issue that the FDA is hearing right now?
Okay. So first of all, thank you for your question. So I would say, like, to underline the reason why we're bringing this to the SA detention service. Because there's a lot of tension in the community. You can call, like, the family Asian student being bullied, calling out, like, racial slurs and something like that. There's also an issue where a certain person was stopped and they felt that, you know, it was because of the way that, you know, CFPD approaches something like that. And again, we're not trying to put blame on CFPD at all. But we're bringing this mostly because of the issue. It's an issue that affects each and every one of us, and there's no time like the present. And again, it also has to do with a lot of transparency, making sure that students are aware of what they can do to combat the situations going on campus.
I think when you have, like, line out as representatives, like, we try and engage them through within our communities, and this was brought to our attention, something that, you know, has transpired not as of recently, but it's been, like, an ongoing theme. And, you know, we identified it as a high threat, because now you have students that are unwilling to, you know, call someone like police or security in a time when they need to. But you have a very pressing safety issue, and that's why we did bring it to the table immediately.
So, I'd
just like to concur with all of us that, you know, it is right important right now, because it hasn't brought to our attention that there are some negative things within some communities at the university, and we want to be out of that. We want to be open and having discussions so we can improve those relations.
Okay, so in a variety of activities that I've been involved in, we talked about the bias response system. Well, this is opening up a pathway to start discussion on that, improving it, advertising it, and figuring out how to
I was on the university council last year. I was on the committee that, like, overviewed the BRP and kind of restated it. So this year there is a whole new system online if you go check. I think one of the bigger issues with it is that students don't know about it. I think a lot of students, like, they're reporting to nothing, like dropping off a letter in a box and someone's going to read in, like, a month and nothing ever happens with it. So that's something that what we're focusing on is the actual process of reporting, what the follow-up is after that. This resolution has, like, begun those talks with Chief Center and UPD, so, like, we'll definitely, us and Jack will definitely be following up with the SA when we're going with that.
Okay.
I don't know if that's on my docket thing to do.
I don't know if Ramil wanted to talk more about the discussions he's had with the administration, but you know, to give a little context, this has been a long-standing issue with the student body trying to get the administration to cover some of the bill for convocations, which they did not anymore. And I think the administration has been very uneasy about funding it. Another thing that was being talked about with the administration was combining convocation and commencement the same day. So one big reason why convocation is so expensive is because there is approximately $40,000 in fixed costs, associated with setting up short costs and taking it down and then putting it back up the next day for the president's office. That route is obviously not going to happen. And I think everyone's feeling punched by budget. To answer your question, I don't have any specific plans at this point to address the administration, but I think the committee wanted to be known. That was the feeling. And then just one bit of history. Last cycle, only 25% increase was approved by the appropriations committee. Later, 75% more was added on by the student assembly at large and complication appeal. The reason why the committee didn't grant a $3 increase was because they wanted to show the administration that the student activity fee wasn't just their backstop. Whenever they wanted to cut funding, they could just rely on the student activity fee to cover any deficit. And so, you know, I don't know how much traction I get from the administration on that issue, but it's something that we should definitely point out. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Okay.
Next
on
the speaker is Mr. Representative Alpha.
You have to pay each speaker, like we pay for Pelosi and Governor. We pay them because they just do. We feel like that's something.
So normally when you invite a well-known speaker, they require you to pay not only an honorarium, which is kind of a large amount of money that you give to them in honor of speaking into your school, but also you cover their travel, their lodging, you know, public speakers who are in probably like positions, you know, that element of public, that public figure. Okay, public figures do not accept honorarium. The amount of which we pay for speakers are confidential information just because we don't want them finding out how much we pay them a year versus other locations. And to get to a better tier of speakers, we need to have them.
A little bit on a side note, comfortable we're talking about, but I just wanted to clarify for the news to the public or whatever that I had no say in the appropriations committee allocation of not the room for any of them that day. And I know the students have expressed like questions as to whether or not that happened. I just wanted to clear the record and make sure that everyone knows that. And, you know, it's like that for any member of the appropriations committee who's involved with a budget organization. I guess we do John, you had a question about the administration. Yeah, so I wrote the convocation committee responded to Vice President Nicoletti's assessment as well, and I would really like to echo what Representative Mueller said, that if the committee feels that the university should be supporting convocation to a higher degree, the leaders of convocation would very strongly recommend the appropriations committee led by Vice President Nicoletti or President Raps to express that sentiment, because I think it's one thing when we go and say, can we have more money? And another thing when the committee comes in and says, we reviewed this budget for the past 2 years, so more than 3 years, and this is how it fits into the context of the student activity fee, and we believe that you should be holding the greater share.
All right. Next on the speaker list is process for what the appropriations
committee has decided.
Yep, and then there's everything is
And then everything is passed in the form of a formal resolution at the last meeting of the student assembly, which is probably going to be on December 3rd.
Okay.
I just have an additional point of information. If this doesn't pass, does that send it back to the appropriations committee to reevaluate?
No. So if it doesn't pass, someone needs to make an amendment for the fee that would pass. And that's what we're going to pass.
I don't think there was an extra 30,000 parents that year.
So John, who represents the Vice President Rao, definitely brings up an excellent point with that. I think the two things for us was it was more of a courtesy to Cornell students and Cornell parents than it was a disservice to the people in the community. And also, it's kind of a logistical nightmare when you think about it. You have about 15 to 20,000 people showing up at one place in the span of, you know, 30 to 45 minutes. It's hard enough getting the buses to bring them in, much less to get everyone in a single file line to check tickets.
So I think that's something that needs to be debated on these assemblies, what the purpose of the price increases. Basically, a lot of people have said that more money equals a better speaker. And I really couldn't disagree with that more. More money equals a more expensive speaker. And I think that if you guys have seen the speakers, you know, they might have more prestige. There are certain speakers that they might not be as famous as the people, they might not command a negative dollar amount, but they're better speakers. You know, they're people that people actually want to watch, and people that people be interested in hearing. And I think that that's something that needs to be considered, is that just because we give the committee more money doesn't mean we're getting better speakers. Doesn't mean we're getting more hits on YouTube. Because all the speeches that are on YouTube that are really popular are speeches that are genuinely good speeches. You don't need a very expensive honorarium to necessarily get that. I think that's something that's very important.
Just a quick comment. I just want to make sure everyone knows the convocation chairs of the representative classes do not pick the graduation day speakers. Students within the classes pick the graduation day speakers. So if you feel that your class is spending its money poorly on a speaker that isn't worth the money, you should get involved in your class convocation process. But at the end of the day, it's students that decide what speakers they want, who they would like to send offers to, and in what order.
I think this is a landscape model, right? I think we can talk about this for hours. I think we're all, you know, shooting and just trying to shoot this water. I think if we wait until I've been, I hope it's about this next week, we can have the leadership complications. So, Karen and Emily will come back. And, you know, defend their case. Because right now, I'm speaking to O'Neill, who isn't even ready or didn't prepare for this. I think that, you know, that definitely has something that gives us more of an insight into what we're going on, as opposed to saying, you know, let's cut this. And I also want to say that, you know, the appropriations committee has put in over an hour in this case, an hour for 15 people, and they're not, and getting on the appropriations committee is not easy. These people are, you know, generally have good insight into what's going on in that function. So I also ask that we respect their opinion. You know, just set this issue sit for a week until the chairs come back with enough time to spare. And I know that's one.
Find another meeting. Chair, because the complication is planning on, you know, basically having to decide on setting up a contract, postponing a meeting affect their ability to send out a contract.
At the end of the day, we're not going to act on a new allocation until it's finally funded at the end of the semester, because things change. So, no, you won't be changing.
The convocation chair and the convocation committee knew that this was going to be discussed in student assembly today, and I don't see why your co-chair is not here.
Harris said he's going to come down, which I'm happy. Harris, coming down.
Wow.
So we got to
Okay, so we now have the other chair of convocation with Class of 24 here. However, there has been a motion to postpone to actually give it a second. You can have to explain. So now we're going to vote on whether to postpone the vote.
Would that person like to withdraw their motion, seeing as how the chair is here?
Sure. Right, the motion has actually been withdrawn, so hence, if you could come to the parents or Class of 24. Right. And just to let you know, anyone can make that same motion with any time you're speaking. Next on the speaker is Representative Reagan.
So what I want to talk about is they were voted on at $2. We're talking about like lining them with $3.10. I mean, I think that I think there's been a conversation on the RSD to bring in like the best paper possible and things like that, but I think that, you know, the increase with the program on our segment, you know, that's an extra $15,000 for the kind of quality of speaker that we would all be able to bring in. I know Chester said that we should be able to bring in speakers, not just based on the honorary, but I feel like that's, you know, I feel like the more money that we would be able to pay would be taxed by the
clarify, a 1 cent increase would equal $27,000 over 2 years.
Yeah, sorry.
Can you
propose your own? No,
I'm one of the members of the appropriation committee. I just want to say that at first, reading, I'm going to agree with Vice President Brown, and I just think it would be a good alternative to a price increase, because I don't think there's an extra deviation necessarily there in, you know, the entire burden of conversation. At the same time, we did a little bit of research during the meeting, and we discovered that none of Cornell's peer universities have such an accommodation. And yes, it's true that Cornell has accommodations fully run by students, so the university doesn't want to become involved with accommodations in the sense that, you know, the students can ultimately choose whoever they want to speak, which is pretty cool in my opinion. But I'm against ticketing for that reason, just because, you know, after doing it was bad in regards to the universities to bear. And at the same time, it is a prestige factor. I think I forget who brought it up earlier, but the publication speaker is definitely a prestige factor, and it was impressive, has some leverage.
Searched and saw that no other Ivy League schools charge tickets for convocation, but I have some questions. Did we find that no other Ivy League schools, do other Ivy League schools student activities fund convocation, or is it funded by the administration? Because I don't think that's really relevant if it's not funded by the schools.
To get speakers in the tier one, we kind of break them out into price ranges of like tier one, tier two, tier three. Every other Ivy League school, every other, I guess, top 25 university that truly cares about their reputation is bringing in one of those tier one speakers right now. If you look at our speakers list, if you were to go back, people like David Poof, Soledad O'Brien, these were not peer group speakers. And last year, if you notice, we didn't get a speaker until almost April. Yeah, it was about 5.5 weeks out, which was almost not even enough time in order to get people, working on production and flights. So if we were able to start with a higher honorarium for an offering price, we'd be able to get some of our top people. And I'm looking at my top 19 right now, and I know that on this list, we can afford one person currently.
Yeah, so the compensation committee discussed this with increases in order to try to get a better quality speaker that the students are going to like. Students are fully who they want in the compensation committee in order to get a top speaker off that list. And right now, they're going down to the lower speakers to want to be just trying to get more speakers.
Well, yes. I mean, I think it goes beyond like what the students also want. It is what the students want, but I think students also want the prestige of Cornell to match the prestige of other universities. And to be honest, one of the few syndicated parallels that you can make between universities is the speaker that they have at graduation. No one's comparing, you know, the way that President Scorton speaks to the way that President Harvard speaks. No one is judging what they're saying, but they're judging the name recognition of that other speaker.
I wanted to speak to that really briefly and talk about student sentiment. So last year, the class of 2013 sent out an email to every member of the class with a survey asking, like, who they would like for convocation, what attributes they wanted in a speaker. Out of the, I think we have an approximate 3,200 students in our class, we got over 1,300 responses. I mean, I don't know how many times you guys have like tried reaching out to your class, but there are not that many emails that get a 1/3 response rate. Out of the list of attributes that they wanted, prestige and name recognition of speaker was far and ahead the number one choice. And out of the speakers they recommended, those are the same people that the 55 student leaders on the 2013 committee selected as their top 20 as well. So I do think that is representative of student voice.
And I know we're going back and forth, but I mean, I wanted to just reiterate and agree with what Judge said. This is my own personal opinion. In that what makes a great speaker isn't necessarily being more confident or being the famous actor. What makes a great speaker is the content. And I know we have, I mean, and it's hard to say, I don't know how much. I know we have Maya Angelou, which is not a good thing. I would love to go see Maya Angelou, which is probably,
Well, on your point on Maya Angelou, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we didn't have enough funding for Maya Angelou.
No, we
didn't have enough funding for Maya Angelou. She came with a lot of necessary costs because of her handicap.
Yeah.
So the production costs increased greatly. We had enough for her as a speaker, but the university did have to kick in for the production costs on Maya Angelou.
It's actually funny you mentioned Maya Angelou because non-political speakers actually cost a lot more. And Maya Angelou, I guess, like, to not give out too much information, has been one of the most expensive speakers that has been brought to Cornell.
I mean, okay. It sounds like it came in a little bit. I was wondering, I wasn't saying for sure that she was.
She was our most expensive speaker ever.
So one other thing I wanted to just add on was the comment about your email that was sent to the student body, or to the class of 2013. And something I'm sure that I know I'm not aware of, probably, if I wasn't here, wouldn't be aware of, okay, that this was coming out of my own pocket, and if I wasn't made aware of that in the email, my response to it may be different than, you know, if I wanted to tell the speaker, everyone has to pay $2 more.
I just want to clarify some of the elements that we're saying, and I want to hear it for the first time, and then a little bit of why the committee ultimately came to 1050. And
So I guess the first story to talk about, does more money equal a better speaker? Well, how do students define a better speaker? I think that students not only define a speaker in terms of its rhetorical value, how good of a speaker is this person, but also how prestigious is this person, how well known is this person. I think students want all those things. And I think that money does correlate with that. But I think that when we look at convocation and what it means and how it prepares for programming that we could support in other areas of this next community, that's in the way how much is convocation worth to us. And so I feel that $10.50 and $2 with the community saying, we agree, we think that convocation and the prestige of the speaker is important to us, but we also recognize that there are a lot of other student groups that are asking for increases, that when we fund them, we can foster excellence at Cornell University and our student body every day, rather than just on one day of the year where some members of the senior class and whoever's around it comes to view. And so I think that the allocation of not giving for the full increase with that acknowledgement that we need to also foster organizations like the Great Mike or CAPS or Slow Media or Voice or the Women Resource Center that for a shuttle or SAF Data, we have to tell the time.
So I'm actually going to do some speakers list. We can talk to the first speaker list. Is there anyone that hasn't spoken that would like to be on the first speaker list? Are you seeing that on the second one? Representative Miller.
So I wanted to emphasize a few things. First of all, I do want to emphasize that we now are bringing to the fact that the Convocation Committee is essentially running on a deficit. They're essentially running to the point where they are, based on the current cost of typical honorariums, they are reaching into the pocket of the class in front of them and choosing, taking money for that to support the current year's convocation. So with that, I would say that it is more irresponsible for future years, in addition to the year 2012 now, 2013, and 2014 coming up, that's kind of pretty much part of this funding year, more or less. It would be irresponsible to not fund their full request. Convocation, as we know it today, is fairly new. We haven't had the caliber of speakers that you come to expect from convocation. Not even over the first couple of days that you said that were not necessarily what we come to expect now. Even that is very new. And I think we have seen some incredible momentum in convocation in recent years. Incredible convocation. We have to think of the fact that we may have speakers that aren't in public office. Being currently in public office, they can't take an honorarium, the costs may be lower, and at that point, they might have a surplus. At that point, then in the 2014 bylaw funding year, that's when we say, they have a surplus, let's steal that a little bit, let's reduce their student activity fee maybe, let's give them less money.
Can I respond to that really quickly? Just on the public service comment, we actually budgeted for the fact that 2 out of every 10 speakers historically has been a public servant and thus has had a free honorarium, so that's incorporated into our budget.
And the deficit is a result of the convocation seeking to bloat its honorarium to a higher level than we've ever had in the past. That's why there's a deficit, and if convocation wants to bring cheaper speakers, there will not be a deficit.
Motion to increase the highlight funding appropriation to $11.63.
There's been an amendment on the table to raise it to the amount requested, $11.60. So how we're going to go about this is it's just like another amendment. So what's going to happen is we're going to vote on the amendment. Is there any
$5, would you have given them $5? If they would have asked for $1.50, would you give them from 150. I think that we have to improve student activity money and understand that we can't just overnight increase every single event to where we ideally want to be, because we have a lot of our student programs that are competing with these dollars. Now, I personally feel that an additional $14,000 in our area is not the same value as having double the amount of money for Big Red Bike, an additional $14,000 that will greatly expand their program. We're fostering Asian American programming here on campus. We're fostering school media, and students can all year round express their interest in media. I just think that there are so many more things that we can do these things that we still have to get fun, and this would just be very irresponsible for us to float one day event that many of you don't even attend.
So I'm strongly against increasing their compensation funding, and I said it before, I said it again, I don't really think this is a student event. We have a student activity team that should pay for student events.
One hour.
because though it would mean it's very, very good to have a great speaker that someone that everyone enjoys, we're still giving them a little leeway to try and go after better speakers. And I just have one question for the parents. You said before that right now you're going to have you could try and get one person in the top 19. If we were to give you the $2, would that change or?
So to answer your question, Ross, I appreciate the question. Yeah. So the money that the extra $2 definitely does go a long way, but it still doesn't put us into that top tier of speakers. I don't want to divulge exactly who they are in this sort of setting, but I will say that these are the big names that would get the most recognition, and at 10:50, we still would not be able to hit those people responsible.
Can someone motion for an increase in the system here real quick? While I respect your decision, I would like to respectfully disagree with the notion that convocation is a one-day event. And I think if you ask a number of the members that are on the 2013 convocation committee, who spent who have 5-hour meetings week after week after week, like other members of that, I think convocation represents the first time in the university where you're able to pull together the leaders of that class. To come together to find one decision. I think that process lasts 2 years, and I can speak from experience that I think me and Harris were both said that convocation is definitely not a one-day event. Our committees are bigger than other bylaws and other organizations on campus. So.
And I completely understand that, and I know people on the committee, I'm sure, on the board, it's not just a one-day event, but for the people who are actually seeing the speaker, who are involved in the event,
So, and
Does the speaker who put the amendment on the table keep the $11 amendment for $11 to be? Yes. No, you need a motion for a private fee. No. Okay, so you drop the entire $11 amendment. Okay. So now we're back to our regular issue. If you don't know that, it is not represented. So there was a motion to table the $11. Okay. So now we are going to discuss the $11. And so that's the same figure that I have to look at the candidate.
All right. So I'm going to very quickly go back to the mention before. First of all, the notion of increasing now and increasing the allocation to 50 bucks, that never happens. It never takes a motion to the vote. Can you give it to them? In theory, big picture, zoom out a little bit. Who else comes down at the FDA? Yeah, close to a $20 increase. We provide now WRC, CAP2, you guys are going to have to set up every one of these decisions. So keep and stay confident of that. I'll say that this can be seen from the FDA to make very high level decisions and not consider the opinion of the people who are poor or especially the power. Lastly, I think, you know, complications.
Thank you.
so basically, if you go yes, you're voting yes for it, you go no, and then if you abstain or not, you can't hear the meeting. And then it's still based on the 2/3 of voting.
That's 2/3 of voting, not 2/3
of voting. Or sorry, you can't hear the majority.
Is it members present? Based on the resolution that you passed for the election 2 weeks ago, it was 2/3 to amend the resolution, and that of members present or of voting members in the assembly.
Well, it's 2/3 to, for it to not be accepted. And that goes back to the amendment. So it takes a majority to pass it, and takes 2/3 to not consider it. And then it takes that gap is needed to accept it, and then you have to go through what you mentioned.
Is it 2/3 of members present or of voting members in the assembly? So if there are absent members here, are they counted in this 2/3? I guess it depends on the word.
Yeah, I think it's only members present. I will double check on that and get back to the chair.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry, can I request that we clarify this before we vote? It's pretty significant. It's a pretty significant change.
We're going to take a second then to make sure that we have this. But what's going to happen is the amendment has to pass by 2/3. So just clarifying, if you abstain, you are part of the 2/3 or not? The appropriation committee voted to increase it by $2 to $10.50. Can you talk about how already? Can you talk about the caps that were on for appropriation to final funding?
Sorry, what? Oh, the administration kind of restrictions? Okay, so the administration tells the student assembly that the target to increase student activity over the 2-year period is between 4% and 6%. So if you assume about a 6% increase, that's about $12 or $13 that we have to do to increase student activity. But it's not beneficial to increase it ever. You obviously have to take into account all the programs that were considered. And so when faced with between $12 and $13 maximum to increase the student activity by a $3 increase is a very large chunk of the maximum that we can look at. Therefore, we have to be extremely conservative relative to a lot of our products. I can talk about this a lot.
Assembly means however many seats are at the table, and you need 2/3 of that.
So it's basically, if you, like, the members here right now, if you vote yes, you're voting yes. If you vote no, you're voting no. And if you abstain, you abstain. If you're not here, your vote doesn't count for this resolution. The only time that if you're not here and it wouldn't count is if it was a charter or bylaw change. So, in this, basically, if you're voting, it's two-thirds of the people who are voting here right now that are present.
Now we're coming to vote. Once again, the amendment is for $11. So the clerk, please call the roll. Ballard?
No.
Block?
No.
Dugan? Chocha?
Yes.
Desai?
Abstain.
Adam Gitlin? Ross Gitlin?
Rocky,
no. Goldberg?
No.
Guarani? Sorry, Adam. Hoffman?
No.
Kay?
No.
Sorry. Lee? Miller? Mueller? He said no.
Yes.
Here. Nicoletti?
No.
Pinkney? Rao?
No.
Goffin?
Yes.
Smith?
No.
Goldman? I'm sorry?
No.
Trafiker? Wolford? Okay.
Where was he?
No.
Yes.
The second is my progress, and then that's
Any objections? Okay. Is that, do you yield to the House? Okay.
Yes, this is more of like a clarification. So you can mention that there would be like a future presentation.
That's just one of the options. We're presenting multiple options for the Board of Trustees, and it's up to them to decide which one to choose. We're basically, this is just a statement of support from the student assembly that we would like to see a student trustee, and just legitimizes the proposal that is there already considering.
Each of those options are out.
They're actually in the big packet that we sent. Yeah, they're all three included in this. This is literally just a statement of support for any of those options.
Rep. Mueller, your next report, clarification. This was on the agenda last week, so it's unfinished business, which means we can vote on it today. Mueller.
I read through all of this, but I just couldn't quite find the answer. Hopefully, you might want to yield to it. Would trustees be then restricted to, like, for example, if I were too late to make it, but let's say if I were a freshman or a sophomore, let's say, and we had a student like this, like normal, and then my junior year, now this year, realistically, I suppose I could do that kind of weird one-year sort of thing. I don't know, is it just, you just it only in the sophomore year of election,
you're required to do your term.
So what you're saying is, no matter which class year, they would always have their election in their sophomore year.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I need to say.
Okay. So hypothetically, a freshman could do it, but it wouldn't really make sense.
And I just have another amendment to that. I'd like to change all of the, in the Be It Therefore Resolved, what is the FA, where it says UA to FA, in the third Be It Therefore Resolved.
That concludes the resolution. The call to question is seconded. We are going to take a roll call vote on this resolution. Sir, please call the roll.
Block?
No.
Breeden?
No.
Chopra? Desai?
Yes.
Adam Gitlin?
Yes.
Ron?
He's not here.
Goldberg?
Not here.
Guarani?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Mellon?
Yes.
Mueller?
Yes.
Nicoletti?
Yes.
Pinky?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Scuffle?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Trefison?
Yes.
Wolford?
Yes.
McCary? Yes.
I don't know. One quick thing, I have to withdraw my vote. Forgot about the chair.
And so I'm going to replace that, yeah.
Okay, yes, for grass.
So, okay. By vote of 18-0, resolution 14 passes.
Here at 1 month.
throughout the year. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to see you. So.
Thank you. All
for executive session as well, but in the future, if you want to advocate on behalf of your organization, you need to send a representative, because the student assembly is the most representative and advocate for the position. It just leads down a very weird path that I don't think that should be going down. So from now on, please, if you're involved in the organization, we expect you not necessarily to pay for voting, but to pay for advocating for a specific allocation, especially if your organization has already come to front of the appropriations committee. Alright, next one, Mr. Jefferson, and then Seth.
Call the question.
Okay, I'm going to call the question in a second, and then Seth. I see now we are going to vote on MSA appropriations finding on the House Council, so we're going to be going to a roll call vote.
Block?
Abstain.
Frieden?
Aye. Always.
Yes.
Cho, Ro, Black. Desai?
Abstain.
Adam Gitlin?
Yes.
Gurujani?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
Lee? Miller?
Yes.
Mueller?
Yes.
Nicoletti?
Yes.
Stacey?
Yes.
Rao?
Yes.
Skelko?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Solman? Trefison?
Yes.
Wolford? Vegetarian?
Yes.
Next week we're going to be hearing Club Insurance, Globe Media, and
this has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.